Chapter 8. Zara. My carriage bounces over the bumpy cobblestones, jostling me as I sit nervously within. Light, give me strength, I mutter to myself, gazing out the veiled window at the city beyond. Even though I've come before the circle of magisters and the High Magus on numerous occasions, the thought of facing the King of Tarsinium fills me with anxiety. As the excitement of seeing Owen fades, I quickly realize that my station and my accomplishments mean very little to the king, who has long since maintained a distance between his court and the conclave. It's not his brash reputation or even his authority that has me feeling nervous, but the fact that now I'm supposedly representing the conclave in this matter. Of course, I have heard stories of the king's hot-headedness, his short temper, and penchant for swift and brutal justice. King Æthelgar has assured that absolute power in the kingdom rests upon his shoulders. However, after facing down an army of demons and fighting against murderous cultists, what's one meeting with the king? Taking a deep breath, I put aside my fears as I hear the carriage coming to a halt. The driver opens the door for me, and I step out onto the street, where a retinue of guards stands waiting. They wear polished steel armor and long swords, their pauldrons painted with the red and gold of the king, and their helms sprout crimson plumes that remind me of the feathers of a bird. They salute as the driver closes the carriage door behind me, and one of them steps up to where I stand, lifting his faceplate with a gauntleted fist.
"Seeker Denil?" he asks, his voice strong and deep.
"Yes?"
"We have been tasked with escorting you to the head stewardess. Please, come with us."
Glancing back at the carriage, I meet the eyes of the driver. He shrugs, and I gesture for him to go. He cracks the reins and pulls away, leaving me alone in front of the grand edifice. Though not as breathtaking as the lofty towers of the conclave, the royal palace is still magnificent. Crenellated walls surround a complex of enormous buildings, topped with copper-plated domes and golden spires. Crimson banners fly from every window and balcony, depicting image after image of the fearsome roaring lion. Staring up at the walls and noting the many crossbowmen on guard in the ramparts, I steel myself, adopting the cool look of serenity that many of my fellow mages of the conclave have mastered.
"This way," the knight says, marching with the other guards under the raised archway that marks the entrance.
Following them, I walk beneath a wicked-looking portcullis and into the wide courtyard beyond. The gardens are just as beautiful as those of the conclave, with a wide assortment of flowers and hedges cut into various shapes. Leafy animals stand frozen on beds of neatly trimmed grass, while finely dressed nobles sit beside marble fountains, drinking wine and conversing merrily with one another. These people may not be able to wield magic, I think, watching them from out of the corner of my eye, but they're plenty powerful in their own right. Their words shape the politics of Tarsinium, and their intrigues are said to be as deadly as any real battlefield. The knights lead me to a staircase, heading to a great marble building in the middle of the complex. Armor clinking, they proceed up the steps to where four pikemen are guarding double doors, resplendent in blood-red tabards. Without speaking, they push open the doors, allowing our retinue to step through without breaking pace. "Light almighty," I think, glancing at the many kill slits in the stone and the soldiers walking about. I'd hate to be the army invading this place. The chamber inside is just as gaudy as the exterior of the palace, with great columns and polished wooden floors stretching across the cavernous hall. Elaborate tapestries line the walls at varying intervals, and thick, colorful rugs adorn the floor, upon which rest bits of furniture that look more akin to decorations than anything you'd want to sit on. My retinue leads me forward several dozen paces, then veers to the left,
pushing open a nondescript door on the eastern side of the hall.
"The head stewardess will be with you shortly,"
the guard says to me in a monotone voice.
"Please remain here for now."
I walk into the room and am pleased to see that Owen is already there waiting for me, along with a handful of other rangers. They wait, sitting on a row of benches before a stained glass window lit up by the sunlight beyond. Upon seeing me, Owen immediately stands up and approaches, beaming despite the uneasiness in his eyes. "Glad I'm not the only one feeling uncomfortable by all of this," I think wryly. "It's been a long time since we last talked," I say teasingly. "However have you been?"
"Under the circumstances, quite well."
He glances around, giving me the impression of a wolf trapped in a cage.
"Are you ready for this?"
I heave a sigh. "As ready as I'll ever be, I suppose." He gives me a comforting smile. Then, from the group of rangers behind him, an unrefined voice speaks up.
"Hells, Owen, you didn't tell me that your friend was a mage. And you also failed to mention how gorgeous she is."
A black-haired young man about the same age as Owen steps up beside him, examining me without reservation. He wears the same gray-green ranger cloak that Owen does, though his frame is slighter and not nearly as well-built. Finally, after glancing me up and down like a piece of meat, he winks at me with his dark eyes and gives me a salacious smile.
"Talon Meacham, my lady," he says, bowing slightly. "At your service."
I purse my lips and raise an eyebrow at him, and Owen jabs an elbow into the other apprentice's side, causing him to grunt in pain.
"She's a magus from the Conclave, you idiot," he growls. "Not some barmaid. Show her a little respect."
Was that a flash of jealousy in Owen's eyes? Or was that just my imagination? "It's all right, Owen," I say coolly, turning to regard the wincing ranger. "Well met, Talon Meacham. My name is Zara Dennell. I'm pleased to make your acquaintance."
Yours too, Magus.
Just then, the door on the far side of the room bursts open, prompting the rangers to stand and place their hands on their weapons. A willowy woman in an elegant red and white dress sweeps into the room, followed by a train of anxious-looking servants. Her gray hair is pulled up into a tight bun, and her pale blue eyes flick over to Owen and me, the corners of them wrinkling in apparent distaste as she recognizes us.
"You two must be Owen Lund and Zara Dennell," she says, waving for the servants to leave her. After they depart, scurrying away like frightened mice, she turns to regard us, looking down and glancing us over with an imperious gaze.
"My name is Layla Olson. I'm the head stewardess of the palace and the secretary of the king. It is my place to educate you on the conduct of the court before proceeding into His Majesty's council chambers."
Owen and I look at each other, and I can see in his expression the same uncertainty that is causing my stomach to turn with dread. This woman already has a way of making both of us feel like children.
"This is your first time coming to the royal palace, is it not?"
Both of us nod.
"I see."
She pulls out a small notebook from one of her pockets and begins flipping through pages.
"Well, let us start with the basics. The king will be attended by many of the most important nobles in the kingdom. They will be in the periphery and will only passively participate in the proceedings. When you first enter the court, you will approach the king's throne and bow. I will introduce you. When he asks you to speak, you may address him as Your Majesty. Anything else will be a serious breach of protocol. Are you with me so far?"
"Yes, head stewardess," I say, while Owen grunts affirmatively.
"Good," she replies tersely, glancing back down at her notebook. "King Æthelgar has requested to speak with both of you personally, so all of his questions should be answered to the best of your ability. Please indulge all of his requests. Hold nothing back. What's more, It's important that you refrain from asking anything of the king. It isn't your place to make requests of his majesty. There is a formal process you must follow should you feel the need to ask anything of him, one that we can go over at a later date. When it comes time to leave, thank him for allowing you to come to his palace, then bow again before departing. Oh, she adds, looking down at the hatchet on Owen's belt. And you must remove all of your weapons before being admitted to the court. Grudgingly, Owen reaches down and pulls out his hatchet, handing it over to Talon, while giving the stewardess a look of pure iron. I reach up, removing my talisman as well, and Talon offers to hold on to it along with Owen's hatchet. I nod gratefully to him as he takes it. Although she didn't mention the source crystal specifically, I think it best not to antagonize her. Satisfied, she places the small notebook back into her hidden pocket. Do you have any questions for me before we move forward with the proceedings? Owen shakes his head, but there is something that I'm curious about. How much does the king know? About what happened in the Emberwood, that is. Layla furrows her brow at me, lips tightening into a thin line. I'm afraid I can't answer that, she replies at length, her tone carrying a finality to it. The king must ultimately decide what information to share with you. However, I am able to impress upon you the seriousness of this matter. His Majesty is very concerned with what you two experienced all those weeks ago. As I said before, hold nothing back. With that, she beckons for us to follow her, a servant opening the door on the far side of the room.
Good luck, mate,
Talon says to Owen, sliding the hatchet into his own belt loop and my talisman into his pocket as he steps over to wait with the other rangers. Even from the corner of my eye, I can spot him glancing at my backside. Owen certainly has an interesting choice in friends. The straight-backed woman leads us from the waiting room and through a series of hallways until we reach a richly carved door that has been painted and lacquered a deep crimson. Two porters in livery stand outside, and I can hear voices coming from within. All right, I whisper to Owen, heart beating nervously. Here we go. The porters push open the doors, admitting us into a wide hall, lit by golden windows and flickering torches. A vaulted ceiling high above our head is painted with beautiful frescoes and heroic battle scenes. Flanked on either side of the walkway, which consists of a red carpet laid down the center of the polished marble floor, are legions of nobles and their attendants looking eagerly at us from behind a balustrade. They chatter softly as we step inside, one of the porters walking up behind us.
Announcing Seeker Zara Denel of the Conclave of Mages and Ranger's Apprentice Owen Lund.
His voice rings out in the vast chamber, drowning out the excited whispers. Anxiously, we begin to walk forward, Layla leading us up to the dais at the end of the hall. Upon the dais rests a throne which appears to have been carved from wood and inlaid with ivory and gold. The high-backed seat rises from the platform and bears a man sitting in regal robes of the deepest red. He is wide of girth and wears a thick black beard, blending perfectly with the curling locks cascading about his shoulders. Above his face, which is ruddy of complexion, rests a crown of the purest gold, set with massive rubies that glitter in the filtered sunlight. King Æthelgar watches intently as we walk toward him down the long hallway, his fingers tapping impatiently on the armrest of his throne. We come to a stop before the steps leading up to where he sits, and the head stewardess turns to regard him, gesturing at us with an outstretched hand. The whispering in the hall behind us immediately dies out. As requested, Your Majesty, she says, speaking each word with practiced refinement and respect. Magus Denel and Ranger Lund have come to answer your questions on the incident that occurred in the Emberwood.
Aethelgar regards us for a moment, apparently considering before leaning forward and resting his hands on his knees.
You two are much younger than I imagined. If the reports are true, then you've experienced much in the past weeks. Tell me, are my spymasters correct? Have demons begun invading Tarsinium?
The Grand Hall falls deathly quiet at his words, and Owen and I glance at one another uncertainly.
You may speak freely,
the king says after a few heartbeats, waving his hand and leaning back in his throne.
Please, I must know.
The reports are accurate, Your Majesty, I find myself saying, unnerved at how my voice echoes in the cavernous chamber. I can practically feel the eyes of the dozens of men and women on my back. After a brief pause, I continue, The R'hllar have begun breaching the Ark of Radiance. Owen, Apprentice Lund and I have faced them ourselves, and I can attest that they are terrible foes. Hushed conversations break out behind us, and I watch as the king begins to stroke his beard, contemplating my words.
This is troubling news,
he says at last, prompting the nobles to stop talking.
And how dire is the situation with the Ark?
The Ark is still under review, Your Majesty. The demons can apparently only come through a few at a time, and even then, it is only at random. My colleagues believe that it is just a matter of time before the Heart of Light completely fails, allowing the R'hllar to come at us in great force. Aethelgar continues to stroke his beard, leaning back into his seat, his slouched posture in the throne making his belly appear much larger. Abruptly, he turns his gaze over to Owen.
And what of you, Ranger's apprentice? Word has reached my ears of some tumult within your organization.
Owen hesitates, clearly unsure about how he should proceed. Then he begins speaking, the words coming out cautiously.
Master Warden Thorn was being controlled by a demon, Your Majesty. He was removed, and First Warden Tamara Moyle was chosen to take his place. I see,
the king replies, thoughtful.
It appears that even our most trusted institutions are no longer safe. And is it true, Magus, that demon-worshipping cultists have infiltrated the conclave?
I try to answer as diplomatically as possible. I'm not sure if infiltrate is the right word. Assassins and a rogue steward carried out a string of murders, trying to subvert the conclave, but they appear to have been wiped out. We have not seen signs of the harbingers for some time.
Perhaps they're gone,
the king replies musingly.
Perhaps not. Only time will tell.
A silence settles over the hall, prompting whispers to rise again from the congregated nobles. After a few moments, though, the king begins speaking again.
The situation is dire indeed,
he mutters, mostly to himself, by the sound of it. Then, heaving himself up from the throne, he stands to face the nobles crowded in the peripheries of the hall.
It is just as I feared. The survival of the whole of Tarsinium now hangs in the balance. The heroes of the Emberwood,
he gestures to Owen and me,
have confirmed what I already knew. The R'hllar have at long last come to finish what they started more than 1,000 years ago.
I spare a quick look over my shoulder to see pale faces looking toward us, fear showing plainly in their eyes. This is good, I think to myself, turning back to stare up at the king. With the king on our side, we now have a powerful ally in the fight against the R'hllar. Light willing, it will be enough.
In light of these new revelations,
the king continues, starting to pace on the dais supporting his throne,
it will be important for us to unite our fractured kingdom against this common enemy. A king cannot hope to fight such a foe with rebels roving about his lands.
Clasping his hands behind his back, he stares down at Owen and me, his brow furrowed deeply.
You two have proven yourselves on multiple occasions to be competent and loyal subjects. Your king would ask something of you, something of the utmost importance. Will the two of you carry a message to Dunmar City for me? I wish to extend an offer of peace to Xander Fell.
Several people gasp behind me, and I can't help but wear a look of shock myself. Did I hear him right? Did the King of Tarsinium just admit before the court that he wants peace with the Nightingales? Owen, who had been standing there quietly, takes a step toward the dais, his expression troubled.
Your Majesty, we are willing to serve, but nobody knows the location of Dunmar City. It's a secret that the rebels guard with their lives. That, my young apprentice, is where you're wrong.
King Æthelgar looks over at a pair of guards and claps his hands twice, prompting them to run over to a door at the side of the hall.
Fortune has smiled upon us, it seems, for we have recently captured a Nightingale insurgent. In exchange for clemency, he has agreed to guide you to the hidden city to deliver my terms for peace.
Owen and I look over to see a man being pulled toward us by a heavily armored guard. He is dirty and disheveled, with clinking manacles binding his hands and feet. Despite his appearance, however, he walks tall, head held proudly, as the nobles begin to boo and jeer. Everything seems to fade into the background as I recognize him, my mouth dropping open in surprise. The Nightingale prisoner is none other than Owen's master, the man who has been absent for nearly a month. Elias Keane.